runasradio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 54 with guest Garth Jones, recorded Thursday, March 27th, 2008. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional audio and media services online at pwop.com.
You're listening to Run As Radio. I'm your host, Richard Campbell. With me, as always, my co-host, Greg Hughes.
Hey, Richard. Hey, everybody. How are things today?
So far, so good, man. We're pushing our way through spring and looking forward to a really busy June, a couple of weeks of TechEd in Orlando.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. Very, very busy. I think you're right.
I'm not complaining. It's fun to be doing stuff all of the time. We're going to be there doing a bunch of panel discussions, which will turn into Run As Radio shows, but also we're the hosts of Speaker Idol.
Yeah, and Speaker Idol is really a lot of fun. It's a great opportunity for people who otherwise might not be speakers at TechEd to kind of a way to have them come out of the woodwork and meet and see people who are great presenters that maybe we just haven't seen before.
You know, it's really tough to get a speaking slot at TechEd. It's a huge show. I mean, there'll be 10,000 people there for the IT week. And so when you do a session, you're talking 500 to 1,000 people in the room. And so the planners of the conference are really cautious about who they pick as a speaker. So you can have a lot of experience as a speaker and still not be able to get into TechEd. And I think this is an interesting way for us to see new potential talents. Of course, the rules are you can't have ever spoken for TechEd before, but you've always got to be an experienced speaker.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, it's understandable that the people that run the different tracks at TechEd are very careful about maybe not in the negative sense of the term, but there's kind of a club, you know, and once you're in, you know, then people have experience with you. They know that it's safe to put you on stage, that you're going to perform, so to speak.
Right.
This is an opportunity for people who are not yet, quote unquote, in the club to show what they've got. In a nice safe environment and to have some fun while doing it and potentially end up as a speaker at next year's TechEd.
For sure. All right, Greg, let's introduce our guest. Garth Jones is the founder of the Ottawa Windows Server User Group and its associated study group. He is an MVP for Windows Server System SMS, who was recently profiled on the Can IT Pro blog and is a member of the My IT Forum Community Council. Garth is the chief architect of EnhanceSoft, an Ottawa company that develops products and services to extend the value of System Center Configuration Manager 2007, SMS, Operations Manager, MOM, and Virtual Server. He started working with Systems Management Server when it was version 1.1 in 1996. He can be found in the Microsoft News Groups, on a few web forums, and on the mailing list of myitforum.com. Garth has presented numerous times to OWSUG, and created a webcast for both smssug.ca and myitforum.com, and has presented at Microsoft Management Summits. Welcome, Garth.
Welcome, Garth.
So, obviously, I mean, to actually be an MVP in SMS, this is a guy who takes SMS pretty seriously.
Yes, that's true.
But they haven't shipped a version since 2003. Or is it just they changed the name now?
Well, they recently have come out with Configuration Manager 2007 back in, I guess it was officially released in November.
Okay.
I've been working with the product since May, helping out with the associated courseware on that.
Oh, so we're actually writing some of the curriculum around it. So with that kind of time span, is the product dramatically different from SMS?
I personally don't think so. However, there are some fundamental changes to the product. For an example, you now have maintenance windows as a prime example. This is something that people have been looking for years. And the underlying hotfix technology has changed. So instead of having a couple of different scan engines to scan to see which hotfixes are required, you now have the WIS backend that is used to scan and report back into the whole infrastructure.
The WIS?
WSUS.
Right, so that's
Windows Software Update Service.
Right, Windows Software Update Service. So obviously a lot of this infrastructure has grown up somewhat. And for those who are not sure, when we talk about maintenance windows, you're talking about being able to block out a chunk of time in a given 24-hour period?
Yes. Well, block out a time within a week, month, day, whatever, and have events happen only within that, have only mandatory events happen within that time.
Okay.
Right. So from a management standpoint, some predictability as to when systems may or may not be available that sort of takes the business into account.
That's correct.
But without all this hands-on kind of, I have to actually write the script to run at a certain time and plan all my updates by hand.
That's correct. So it's one of the features that everybody has been looking for to go hand-in-hand with Operations Manager and having that maintenance window set up. So you now can predict, say, Sunday between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m., all of your Windows servers will reboot, and then you can turn around and say, all my Exchange ones happen on Monday, et cetera, et cetera.
And literally by profile like that of these machines can be scheduled each in different windows.
Yeah, I mean, when you set it up, it's still based on collection. So I set it up based on a collection that I define. So I can define that however I see fit, whether that is saying every PC that has the Exchange service running on it belongs in this collection and therefore has this maintenance window.
I get it. I find that Microsoft released a lot of update-related technologies in the past 18 months or so, and it's a little confusing as to which ones we need to use, what's the right way to do what updates.
Well, what Microsoft has done is brought all of the update technologies together. So if you look at their new strategy, you'll have the WUS as the fundamental core technology between all of them. And WUS is intended for those organizations that do not have Configuration Manager in place, or SMS, its predecessor SMS 2003.
Right, so they don't want to use this mechanism to update their own apps. It's just about getting updates from Microsoft?
Yes, so you'll use WUS to update, get the update catalog from Microsoft, and then that same catalog is then shipped out to all of the clients. So this is where Configuration Manager will now use WUS as an underlying technology. And same thing, actually, for that matter, when a System Center Essentials will also use WUS as an underlying technology.
Okay. I made a presumption there in my earlier statement. The System Center Configuration Manager, we can start getting into deploying our own applications with it?
Oh, absolutely. That's one of its fundamental technologies in this thing. Is to deploy applications, whether it's the line of business application or whether it is your office application, Visio, project, you name it. A lot of companies see significant return on investment by using the application deployment by, instead of having somebody from the service desk go out and actually install the application manually, they script that install and then send it out through a Configuration Manager, and thereby reducing the amount of time it takes to get the application out to everybody and having a more reliable setup of that application.
And totally automated, essentially. You don't have to go physically touch these machines anymore.
That's correct. The automation makes things easier and more consistent and therefore reduces the number of problems that you have with the application.
And same for patches and updates. What about like a rollback?
Again, just about the easiest way to describe Configuration Manager is the equivalent of UPS. It delivers whatever you tell it to. So if you tell it to deploy an application, basically all you're doing is taking an MSI with a command line or with an MSP and running it on the workstation.
Right.
There's absolutely nothing to say that you cannot run an uninstall on that workstation and remove an application. And this is quite commonly done with, in conjunction with another feature that you'll find in Configuration Manager, which is the software view, where people will look at the data that is being captured through the software meter and find those applications that are expensive, such as Visio or a project, and removing that application on workstations where it hasn't been used in 3, 6, 9 months, thereby reclaiming those licenses to be reused on somebody else who might need that application.
That's an interesting concept, that actually managing the number of licenses you need to keep around and pay for by looking at how people actually use the products.
Yes. I mean, but there's still some manual intervention that you have to actually decide that you want to do this and set up the appropriate collections or manually set up those collections. But a number of people, a number of organizations have done this and worked it quite successfully.
So now I also get the impression that I have a great asset management tool because I must then know what's installed on every machine.
From that, you do know what is installed through everything within the add remove programs is captured.
Okay.
Or is returned to the main database. From there, you can report on what is in there. You also have the ability to do a scan of all of your hard drives. And the traditional default is to scan just for EXEs, but there's nothing stopping you from adding in DLLs, COMs, other items. For that matter, you can even collect files. So an example of what people have done is collect the configuration file for group-wise, as an example I've seen in the past, where they've found that this one particular configuration file has all the data in it. They've actually collected that, brought it back to their server, and found everybody who's using on a particular server as an example.
And I guess this is one of the big challenges in managing a large system, like a large enterprise environment, is unless you're going to deny everybody the ability to install software, which means now IT takes on the obligation of handling all of it, you need to have some way to capture when people are installing things.
That's correct. And Configuration Manager has made leaps over its predecessor. With the default SMS 2003, your asset management still had add remove programs, and that was useful for determining what was installed on workstations. But what was hard was to determine whether or not I was using an MSDN license of Office versus a retail version of license. In Configuration Manager, they now have added the asset management database, which is about 250 megs worth of data that says this particular GUID represents that someone has the MSDN version, and therefore you know that the license of that is associated with an MSDN versus your volume license. So in an enterprise, this is important to understand where people are installing things from and take the appropriate action. Because if you have somebody in HR, they're not likely to have an MSDN license.
Right.
However, one of your developers is likely to have one. And you can see the abuse of licensing or the proper use of licensing accordingly.
I got to imagine that managing laptops, mobile or intermittently connected devices has got to be challenging on top of that. Microsoft's been making a lot of moves technologically with stuff like NAP and so forth, so that when we bring laptops into the enterprise, we have more control over it. Does System Center Configuration Manager do anything special for them?
It actually does two special things for laptops. When it comes to laptops specifically, they now have the internet-based client management. And this allows you to send out applications, hotfixes, and alike through the internet to your laptops that are connected via a traditional internet through the in their hotel or at home or whatever.
So even the folks working at home can still work with Configuration Manager?
That is correct.
Is that over the internet, or is that requiring a VPN connection back to the home office, or what's the method that's used to actually transport that information?
It's strictly through the internet. The machines, there are roles that you would either directly put on the internet or proxy through an ISA server, and clients would go back to their main role, the management role, find out what applications or services required to be installed, and would slowly download those through BIBs and install it on the workstation. So if you had a mandatory application, you could deploy it down to their workstation, or hotfixes, which is more where this technology is being used, because more people are concerned about whether or not we're compliant with software updates and ensuring that their exposure is minimized to viruses and other security threats.
Yeah, that to me was the real compelling part about NAP, the network access protection, that here's a laptop that's been on the road for 4 months. It's way behind in its patching. It finally gets back into the office. Goodness knows what's on it. To have it plug into the office network or connect to the Wi-Fi network inside the office, you want to be able to contain it a bit. But then a NAP has certainly provided that part, but it seems like Configuration Manager now says, I'll actually provide you the methods to clean that machine up fairly automatically.
Yeah, and with Configuration Manager, there's even an addition to NAP where you actually use the Configuration Manager roles to do all the mediation of that PC. So with NAP, it will block access to the network. Well, with Configuration Manager, one of the options is not only do you evaluate whether or not that PC should be on the network or not, but it will then go off to the appropriate Configuration Manager server and download all the authorized hotfixes to that PC and apply it. So it's a nice addition to NAP.
Now, I'm getting a vision of this. This is kind of cool, the idea that here, now the sales guy finally gets back to the office. When he initially connects to the network, NAP automatically shunts him as if he was still outside the office. He really doesn't have access to the resources because he's not compliant yet. But then will he get some warnings? Like, if you want to get to those resources, I have to install these things first?
With the Configuration Manager option, it will tell you that you are not compliant and therefore that it is doing the remediation at that time and will download the appropriate hot fixes. So there is some warning to the client saying you're not compliant and therefore you have to go through all these updates first.
Right.
Use this in conjunction with Internet Client-Based Management. Ideally, that client will not be that far behind at all.
Yeah, you'd hope. But even if he is, the patches are all local to the network, so they're going to come pretty fast. This is not going to be hours, but it might be a couple of reboots.
It shouldn't be more than one reboot. In most cases, Microsoft has worked really hard at reducing the amount of reboots that you need, and only in limited cases have I found that you need more than one reboot for a brand new PC coming onto the network.
Wow.
So you literally can download, say, 75 hotfixes and only require one reboot at the end of it.
So it's actually smart enough to hold, maybe several of those 75 fixes required a reboot, but it's smart enough to say, let's hold until everything's done.
That's correct.
That's good.
Yes, and that has made client satisfaction increase quite significantly, because if you ask most clients, reboots are one of their sticking points. So,
Greg?
Recently, we spoke with a couple of the guys at Microsoft that are working on System Center Mobile Device Manager. So I think about mobile devices. I think about operations management. How do these things tie together with the product that we're talking about?
Configuration Manager does have a mobile management option where you can deploy software, like line of business software, to those applications. It's fully integrated into Configuration Manager. So you not only can inventory those applications, you can deploy applications to those things, you can do security updates to those mobile devices. The question that has recently been posed to me is, what is the difference between the new Microsoft Mobile Device Manager and what is available in Configuration Manager? And I'm still actually trying to get the official answer to that, but the closest answer I've been able to come to that is if you're using Configuration Manager, you should be using the mobile device option within Configuration Manager. If you don't, then use the System Center Mobile Device Management software that has just recently been released.
And it sounds to me like Configuration Manager represents a pretty hefty size commitment. So you wouldn't really do that just to support mobile devices. You'd use Mobile Device Manager if that's all you need to do.
Yeah. Configuration Manager is a great product, and it has a lot in it. But if you have nothing but mobile devices, I would say go off and use the System Center Mobile Device Manager. If you've got a mixture of devices that includes some mobile devices, then Configuration Manager makes much more sense. It's a central database with central reporting on the whole suite, whether it's servers, workstations, laptops, mobile devices. So that would make much more sense to do it that way.
And briefly, to touch on what we've classically called MOM, or Microsoft Operations Manager, what's the story there? I mean, I think one of the big management issues in the past has always been, how do these things tie together very well? So what about operations management? What's the overlap, or are they the same thing, or are these two different products, or what's the story?
There has been a lot of confusion around Operations Manager and Configuration Manager. Operations Manager is much more about monitoring the health of the system, so bringing in event logs and security logs into a centralized database and reporting on issues that the MOM management pack knows about that system. So if you have a hard drive that is dying, you will get an alert that says that you've got a hard drive done. Where Configuration Manager is much more about keeping that workstation compliant with respect to software updates, getting asset management information with the desired Configuration Manager option within Configuration Manager, you now have the ability to know the state of that PC and compare it against a baseline of other servers. So you have an IIS box and you always wanted to have anonymous authentication turned off. You can create a DCM that now allows you to compare all of your IIS boxes and know that anonymous authentication is being disabled on all those boxes. So the products are really complementary to each other. They don't really compete with each other.
I could see how Configuration Manager would help Operations Manager, in that Operation Manager pulls back those event logs showing that this program's having a problem, and then Configuration Manager could be deploying an update or a patch to fix that problem.
Absolutely. The two products are very complementary, and actually in a lot of environments, you're starting to see the two products work together under the same team. So in a former life, I had both at the time MOM 2005 and SMS 2003 running responsible under my team, and this is something that we use quite heavily because the two products definitely go hand in hand.
So, Garth, when it comes to getting started with this, I mean, this is a pretty broad-reaching. It's both deep and wide. And I can see where people would approach leveraging the capabilities of the System Center product. Either they're starting fresh, or they already have some infrastructure in place, maybe an older version of SMS that's legacy and sitting around. So where do you get started with this? As big as it is, what are the important things to think about ahead of time?
The important things to think about with Configuration Manager is it is an all-encompassing product, and I recommend to most of my clients to start slow. Don't go in and say, I'm going to go in and use the OS deployment, the asset management, DCM, and have it all done in 3 months. It's just not going to happen. Generally find one of your bigger pain points, work on that one option, and build upon the thing. Every couple of months, 6 months, 9 months, review what you've done and decide is that still the right direction. The product is one where you'll see significant return on investment as you continue to deploy applications, do software updates, and things of that nature. The big one that most people miss in Configuration Manager is there is a huge community when it comes to Configuration Manager where you can get help on how the product works, how to get ideas to enhance the product, even just general support of the product. And that community is, as you guys have touched on a little bit from my bio, is very big, particularly in the States. So, an example in Canada, we have the smsug.ca site that is run basically by two SMS MVPs, myself and Mark Carrier. In the UK, you'll find faqshop.com, where you'll find a lot of just questions and answers about the whole System Center product line. So whether it is Configuration Manager or MOM or System Center Essentials, you'll find how-tos on there. And then, of course, the premier site on that is myitforum.com. And on that one, you will find articles that give you in-depth knowledge about how the product works and how to get the most out of that, including troubleshooting tips and tricks. And the MIT forum is the one that you will find lots of activity around there, and including a lot of the Microsoft product managers for the System Center suite actually live on the MIT forum sites and answer questions on a regular daily basis there about how to get the most out of this suite. So going back to your ultimate question is take it slow. Make sure that you have it in your test lab. Pick your pain points and build upon resolving those issues. And just keep revisiting it and keep going back to it. Because this product has just about everything that you need, but it's not something that you're going to turn around in a few months and get use all of the features in it.
My experience with SMS goes back a number of years ago, and I remember the cold sweats I got the first time we were going to roll out software that way. And testing really was the challenge, the right way to test a rollout. What do you do when you're going to pilot an update?
Again, that comes back to the individual clients, but I recommend that you start small. You do a small group, usually about 15-20 people, usually within the IT department, so that
right.
you get the best feedback from them. Then you roll it out to a larger group, usually about 50, and then you do staggered deployments depending on the size of the organization.
So you like the block of 50 one day, block of 50 the next day, that kind of thing?
It really depends on the application and what is going to happen if that application fails. But in a nutshell, yes. I like the idea of taking blocks, say 50, 100, 200, whatever, and doing them in groups. Most of the time, I will block it out to two deployments a day, a morning and an afternoon.
And do you find that for a given block, say 100, there's always one or two that are going to be a problem?
Absolutely. When you first start doing your application deployments, you're going to find that you'll have upwards of a 15% failure rate.
And really?
Absolutely. And most of that is due to the inconsistencies within the PCs themselves, how they've been set up in the past, what applications are installed.
Right.
But as you get more understanding of your environment, that rate drops substantially over time to the point where you can get a 0.001% failure a couple of years down the line.
So you're talking one failure out of 10,000 machines.
That's right.
I'd love to see that. I'm sorry, I'm skeptical. That's just that would be really, really good.
Well, it's one of the things that comes up on the mailing list on a regular basis. People say, what is your failure rate? And they talk about hot fixes as a prime example. There is a large organization that's based in the east coast of the United States, out of Pennsylvania, I believe. They end up having, I believe, it's less than one-tenth failure rate across 50,000 PCs when they do their average hot software update.
Wow.
And most of this is because they've gotten control of their environment and they know that when they test that hotfix on their main image, they know it's solid because everybody has had that image. All the applications that have been installed have come through that image and therefore are tested against it. So when they apply this update or application software, everything is being tested throughout the whole occasion. The only time they generally find a failure is when somebody has installed something that was outside of that equation. So, and that usually ends up being a PC that's being hacked and therefore not appropriate and is behind on.
Yeah, something else has gone wrong. It's almost a detector of other problems.
Exactly.
When you're mostly dealing with machines that Configuration Manager didn't build in the first place, you're going to have more problems. But as time goes on and most of those machines are being replaced by machines that completely fed from day one from Configuration Manager, your problem rate's going to drop off dramatically.
That's correct. You'll see substantial improvement. And this is where you see also your return on investment, that you're not spending as much time testing because you know what's out there. So.
Well, then I love the idea of that a new computer doesn't live in the IT office for its first week of life, but goes directly to the desk where it's supposed to live and gets installed over the network. You never sees the IT office normally.
Yes, and this is we haven't even talked about this at all, but about using the OS deployment part of Configuration Manager. You have the ability to put a bare metal PC that boots automatically, gets the image that has been assigned to that PC, and then it knows, because the Configuration Manager has defined this, that it is part of marketing and therefore gets all of these extra applications installed on it.
Yeah, back last year we did a show with Chris Avis on Windows Deployment Service and really dug into the OS side of it, but we haven't really gone and explored where SMS has grown now to become Configuration Manager. It's fascinating stuff and definitely a more mature model than it's ever been before.
Mm-hmm.
Garth, we've got a half hour gone already. It just sort of sails by when you got a great topic like this. I really appreciate you coming on the show and bringing us up to speed on Configuration Manager.
Thanks for joining us, Garth.
Well, it was my pleasure.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.